The first dive. He whose happiness is within, whose contentment is within, whose light is all within, that yogi, being one with Brahman, attains eternal freedom in pure consciousness. From the Bhagavad Gita. When I first heard about meditation, I had zero interest in it. I wasn't even curious. It sounded like a waste of time. What got me interested, though, was the phrase, "True happiness lies within." At first, I thought it sounded kind of mean because it doesn't tell you where the within is or how to get there. But still, it had a ring of truth, and I began to think that maybe meditation was a way to go within. I looked into meditation, asked some questions, and started contemplating different forms. At that moment, my sister called and said she had been doing transcendental meditation for 6 months. There was something in her voice, a change, a quality of happiness, and I thought, that's what I want. So in July 1973, I went to the TM Center in Los Angeles and met an instructor, and I liked her. She looked like Doris Day, and she taught me this technique. She gave me a mantra, which is a sound, vibration, thought. You don't meditate on the meaning of it, but it's a very specific sound, vibration, thought. She took me into a little room to have my first meditation. I sat down, closed my eyes, started this mantra, and it was as if I were in an elevator and the cable had been cut. Boom! I fell into bliss, pure bliss, and I was just in there. Then the teacher said, "It's time to come out, it's been 20 minutes. And I said, "It's already been 20 minutes?" And she said, "Shh," because other people were meditating. It seemed so familiar, but also so new and powerful. After that, I said the word unique should be reserved for this experience. It takes you to an ocean of pure consciousness, pure knowingness, but it's familiar, it's you. And right away, a sense of happiness emerges, not a goofball happiness, but a thick beauty. I have never missed a meditation in 33 years. I meditate once in the morning and again in the afternoon for about 20 minutes each time. Then I go about the business of my day, and I find that the joy of doing increases, intuition increases, the pleasure of life grows, and negativity recedes. Suffocating rubber clown suit. It would be easier to roll up the entire sky into a small cloth than it would be to obtain true happiness without knowing the self. From the Upanishads. When I started meditating, I was filled with anxieties and fears. I felt a sense of depression and anger. I took out this anger on my first wife. After I had been meditating for about 2 weeks, she came to me and said, "What's going on?" I was quiet for a moment, but finally I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "This anger, where did it go?" And I hadn't even realized that it had lifted. I call that depression and anger the suffocating rubber clown suit of negativity. It's suffocating, and that rubber stinks. But once you start meditating and diving within, the clown suit starts to dissolve. You finally realize how putrid was the stink when it starts to go. Then when it dissolves, you have freedom. Anger and depression and sorrow are beautiful things in a story, but they're like poison to the filmmaker or artist. They're like a vice grip on creativity. If you're in that grip, you can hardly get out of bed, much less experience the flow of creativity and ideas. You must have clarity to create. You have to be able to catch ideas. Starting out. I started out just as a regular person growing up in the Northwest. My father was a research scientist for the Department of Agriculture, studying trees. So I was in the woods a lot, and the woods for a child are magical. I lived in what people call small towns. My world was what would be considered about a city block, maybe two blocks. Everything occurred in that space. All the dreaming, all my friends existed in that small world. But to me, it seemed so huge and magical. There was plenty of time of